the book of Acts, chapter 10, we read about the devout man, one that feared the Lord with all his house. Let's go ahead and read from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. We see here he was a man of prayer. He was a charitable man, a giver. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. There was something that this man did that activated angelic activity into his life. And of course, the angels are carriers of the blessings of God. And here comes an angel as a result of this man's lifestyle, a man of prayer and fasting and giving. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? See, this has always happened when you, if you discern or see an angel, they appear as people, at least the angels we're dealing with here on earth. Very rarely have wings. Those are the angels, the seraphims, and the other angels that are standing before the throne of God that we can read about in Isaiah 6, for instance. The seraphims have six wings, with two that cover the face, and with two that cover the feet, and with two that fly. And they cry out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. These are the angels that are before the throne of God, serving God and praising God. I have never discerned or seen an angel. I never heard of anybody seeing an angel here on earth that had wings. I say I saw this in a vision, but there were angels that were standing before the throne of God. Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. His prayers and his giving, Cornelius, had come as a memorial before God. This had released the power of God. This had released angelic activity. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. See, the angels are not called to preach the gospel. This is done through man. But the angel gave him instruction what to do so that the person, in this case Peter, that God had called to preach the gospel to these people would know about it and would come. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually, his servants in other words. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa, so that Cornelius, through his giving, through his praying, in verse 30, we can see he was fasting also. Because it says in verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Here are three very essential keys. The first key is praying. Of course, there are many different kinds of prayer. But praying activates the angels. And it did so in the life of Cornelius. It did so in the life of in the ministry of Jesus. When he was praying, Luke 4, he was praying, he was led by the Spirit of God to be baptized. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Prayer will open heaven. This is Luke 3. I read from verse 21, the end of it. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Prayer opens heaven. It opened heaven in the life of Jesus and will open heaven in the person's life that is a person of prayer. The importance of prayer cannot be overstated. It is absolutely essential. We can also see that in Luke 9. He went up into a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem, talking about the cross. The mountain transfiguration, where Jesus was transformed, was a result of prayer. It didn't just happen. In Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus was fasted and tried for 40 days and 40 nights. It says that he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew 4:11. The devil left him, and behold, angels came. Angels came and ministered. Angels were released because Jesus was praying. Jesus was fasting. They ministered unto him. What do you think they ministered? I think they ministered some food to him. I think they showed him something that he could eat. I think they ministered to his necessity. Angels are involved in ministering to us the necessities that we have. And they are released through our prayers and through our fastings and also through our giving of our substance, giving of ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." He that doesn't deny his own life is not worthy of me. He doesn't lay down his own life and take my life is not worthy of me. This is the gospel. It is not self-glorification. It's self-denial. In 33 it says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So we have to confess Jesus. But it's not enough to confess Jesus. We have to deny ourself. In verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So as we lose our own life, we'll find his life. And part of self-denial is to pray and to fast. This is what Jesus did. This released angelic activity into the life of Jesus. People want the blessings, but they want the blessings without putting anything into it. We have to put something in so God has something to work with. In Luke 16, it says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Man looks to the outward appearance, but God looks to the heart." And we continue now to read from verse 9 in the book of Acts chapter 10. "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten." See, fasting is involved again here. "But while they made ready, he fell into trance." The power of God was released. The angel of God was working on Cornelius because he's fasting, because he's praying, because he's giving. And then the angel of God was working on the side of Peter and gave him the vision. And the Lord bring them both together. And then, because of this, Peter can come and he can speak the gospel. And the Bible says, "As he preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word." He spake these words. He spoke about how Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How? He healed them through the anointing in Isaiah 10:27. "The yoke shall be destroyed because of anointing." While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles that received the Holy Ghost, were filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke with tongues. And the circumcised which believed were astonished. In other words, this is not the way we would have done it if we would have been in charge. But God, He does things differently. But in order to activate the arm of God, in order to activate the hand of God, we have to fast and we have to pray and we have to give. Oh, when the Lord sends me forth to these poor nations and I feel this poverty spirit, I feel such a compassion, and even if I kept on giving and giving, it's like giving into a black hole. And I do give and I believe in giving, but I do, the Lord had told me to tell the people that they need to give. So many times they become dependent on American missionaries, dependent on American missionaries ministry, and they had become dependent, like welfare, spirit welfare, if you will. And they see themselves as recipients of the blessings from the richer nations. But God wants them to look to Him as their source of supply. This is a form of idolatry. It has taken, United States takes the place of God. No. Or Sweden takes, or another nation takes the place of God. God wants to have that place. God wants to be the supplier. And the only way God can supply if they learn to tithe and give unto God according to the word. And as they hear the voice of God, God will release blessings into them. We see this over and over and over again. They have to pray. They know about that. They have to fast. They know about that. But they have to give. They don't all know about that. But Lord, the Lord has called us. He's told me. He's spoken to me and said, preach the full gospel. They need to prosper. The only way they will prosper is through in God, is by obeying the word of God and being subject to the Spirit of God and bring anointed tithes and offerings unto the Lord, hear the voice of God, and He will do the impossible. The children of Israel, they didn't have a pipeline of supply when they were in the desert back to Egypt. No. God was the supply. The cloud was there. The fire was there. God was there. He gave them angel bread. The angels were there. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk by faith and teach people to walk by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anytime we operate as man operates in the natural, without faith involved, see, it takes faith, more faith for a poor person to give, because the devil says to him, you need it. His stomach says, you need it. And his wife says, you need it. Or his in-laws and his outlaws and the people around him, they say, you need it. No, God says, you give it to me and see what happens. The angels would be activated. The angels would be involved. Things would begin to happen. The impossible would happen. Look at that young man when there were 5,000 men plus women and children. And they were hungry. And Jesus said, you give them to eat. You give them. You big shots. You preachers that have all the answers. And they start thinking, well, how can we raise this kind of money? Oh, we're going to send out an appeal letter. What are we going to do? How can we get enough funds in? They were thinking natural. See, that didn't, the anointing factor didn't cross their mind. They were operating in the natural. How can we go on TV and tell on enough stations and tell enough people about this? It was not the time. It was not time for that. They need a miracle in themselves. They were not able to supply this. In humbling experience. And all that was available was one young boy's lunch with a few bread and a few fish. And because he gave what he had and put it in the hands of Jesus, and when Jesus thanked the Father for it and prayed over it, blessed it, it was multiplied. It fed maybe 20, maybe 25, 30,000 people. And the boy himself received 12 baskets. He had one lunch, but now he had 12 baskets. Why? Because he sowed into the ministry of Jesus. Because he gave. Because he gave in faith, believing. And he released the angels. And the angels touched that bread. Jesus touched that bread. The angels touched that bread. God touched that bread. It was multiplied. Everybody ate. That's what happens when we give, led by the Spirit of God. Cornelius, he prayed. Cornelius fasted. Cornelius, he gave. And he was used by God. A Gentile was used by God. The angels were activated. And God used him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And it astonished even the Apostle Peter. And it astonished the Jewish believers that God would pour out His Spirit on Gentiles. Boy, it astonished me time and time again when I see what God would do. How He will use people. See, we get into a mold, we get into a pattern, we think this is going to happen that way and this way and so forth, and we put God in this little box. But God, He loves to break out of that box and bring astonishment to the Christian establishment. Look in the revival, the early revivals, how God will use minority people. He will use women to bring revival to America. Very few people know that the Pentecostal movement started through minority people, through a woman, through people that were despised. And the Susa revival was headed up by minority people. It started by a woman. God used a woman. See, God will use people. He will use that which is despised in the eyes of man to bring astonishment. But God, breaking out of the mold again, going to the hungry Episcopalians, going to the hungry Baptists, going to the hungry Catholics, going to the hungry people of all denominations, and allowing His Spirit to be poured into their lives. This is what He did here. The wrong group received the blessing, and it was an astonishment. This was all activated and released through one man's prayer and fasting and giving. Because he was faithful in his prayer, in his fastings, and in his givings of alms, therefore God saw in him a vessel that was worthy to be used for this great mission and great ministry. If Cornelius would not have been obedient, how could the gospel have reached the Gentiles? And if the Gentiles would not have heard the gospel, how could that world, the rest of the world, heard the gospel? So we see here how fasting and praying and giving activates the angels. Daniel 10, we read how that Daniel, for 3 full weeks, ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth. Fasting means not eating. Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. He released angelic activity.